We're coming upon the culmination of the Eser Makos, coming close to Yetzias Mitzrayim in Parshas Bo. Back in Va'era, we saw most of the Eser Makos. Let's focus on one particular dimension of the Makos and the relationship between Paro, the Chartume Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What exactly was Paro denying? For example, if you take a look back in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayishlach Paro, Vayikra Lemoshe Uli Aaron Vayomer Aleihem Chatosi Hapam, Hashem HaTzadik, Va'ani Va'ami Harsha'im. The Gemara in Erevin says that Rav Shimon ben Lakish used to say that Rishoyim afil pischo shegehenem einem chozim b'tshuva. He quotes a pasuk in Tanakh to prove how far the Rishoyim, the Poshim, go, that even when they're standing at the foot, the entryway to Gehenna, they still don't do tshuva. And Paro here is suffering so much with all the plagues that are brought upon his country, and yet he doesn't do tshuva. Vayomru hachartumim el Paro. Etzba elokim hi. Vayechazak lev Paro v'lo shama aleihem kasher dibra Hashem. Even though the chartumim at this point are telling Paro, etzba elokim hi, recognize the finger of God, the providence of God to protect his people, his nation of Jewish people. But nevertheless, Paro is mechazik his lev. Veloshama Alehem. Now these three words, Veloshama Alehem, can be interpreted in two ways. And the one who addresses this is Rabbi Chezkel Lando, the Nod Bihud, in his famous work, the Tzlach, on Psochem Daf Yud Beis. And he says the following: if the Chartumim said to Paro at the beginning of this Pasuk, Etzbelo Kimhi, then Lechora we should have anticipated that Paro would be nichna in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He would have sent Bnei Yisrael out. He would have given up hope. It must be that when the Pasuk says V'lo shama aleihem, it means that Paro is not impressed by the Chartumim, and he doesn't listen to them. So even though they said Etzba Elokim hi, nevertheless, Paro was mechazik his libo. He wasn't listening to them. He wasn't interested in their recommendation to send the people out. However, if that's the pshat, what are we going to do with the sefer of this pasuk? It says, "Kasher diber Hashem v'lo sham aleihem, kasher diber Hashem." Do we find anywhere in the Torah an indication that Hashem declared that Paro would not listen to the Chartumim? We do know that back when Moshe met in his first encounter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him already that Paro would not hearken to him, meaning to Moshe's words of Shalach Esami Vayavduni. Therefore, the Nod Yehuda switches his channel and he says, Elavanai Nitztarech Lachzobonu, we have to change our mind. Ulefarish Shekavonas Velo Yishma Aleim Hainu Lemoshe V'Yele Aaron. They would not listen to Moshe and Aaron. And that's Rashi Dibra Maskel Kasher Dibra Hashem Hainu Masha Omar Moshe L'moshe li'arv lo'yishma aleichem Paro. Hashem had already told, he had already revealed to Moshe and Aaron that Paro would not listen to them, meaning to Moshe and Aaron. Ulam im kein hakusha, he says, now we have to face the difficulty of how to understand the relationship between the first part of this pasuk, the Reish Lakdom, the introduction that Chartume Paro said, Etzba Elokim hi, and the sefer of the pasuk that says Vayechazik es libo. Lechora, this is counterintuitive. Why would Paro, as a result, in response to the Etzba Elokim hi, say V'lo shama aleihem? He's going to reject the plea of Moshe and Aaron to send the people out. If it's Etzba Elokim, then Paro should be moded at this point. If it's V'lo sham aleihem, that Paro never accepted their claim, the claim of the Chartumim of Etzba Elokim, Nichai, understand why Vayechazak leiv Paro. But if we're saying now that the Kasha Dibra Hashem proves that Velo Shomalim indicates that they didn't listen to the plea and the demand of Moshe and Aaron to let the Jewish people out, then what does that have to do with Etzpa Elokimi? On the contrary, it would seem that Paro accepted the claim of the Chartumim that Etzpa Elokimi, then he should have let the people go. So in order to answer this question and to figure out what Velo Shama Lem Kashadiba Hashem means in relationship to Etzpa Elokimi, we want to study and be sensitive to the use of two names of God and the change from one to the other. In Parshas Va'era, it says in Perek Tes, Pasuk Lamed V'atol V'avadecha Yodati Ki Terem Tirun Mipnei Hashem, that's Yudkei Vavkei Elokim. Interesting that both names of Hashem appear here together. If we go back to the story of creation, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Es HaShemayim V'Es HaOretz, and throughout the story of creation, the name Elokim appears and reappears. That's the exclusive name of Hashem until we get to Perek Beis in Bereishis, Pasuk Dalet, Eilu told us HaShemayim V'Aretz B'Yivaron B'Yom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. Then there's an integration of Yudkei Vavkei with Elokim. For the first time, we see the name Yudkei Vavkei appear since creation. So whereas in the power of creation, Hashem manifests himself as as Elokim, after the whole story, and in a sense, the summary, the overview of Eilu told us, HaShemayim V'Aretz B'Yivaron, in Perek Beis, we have Hashem Yudkei Vavkei introduced for the first time. And this question was asked of the Berjana Rav, the Marsham, which he addresses at the beginning of his Tshuvas in Archayim, Al Masha Sha'alta Shemi Breishis Ve'ad Eilu Toldos Ein Yudkei Vavkei Ad Nichpad Uve Eilu Toldos Ad V'Yodim Yavak Siv Yudkei Vavkei Elokim. We see not only Elokim but also Yudkei Vavkei. Very often afterwards it says Yudkei Vavkei Levado. And in Parshas Va'era, the pasuk that we mentioned before, we have the integration of both Yudkei Vavkei and Elokim. What is this all about? And he says, referring to the Baal Sefer HaIkrim, Lo Irvu Lechechecha Asher Kol Dvar Mesukim Yidvash Ech Yarbivenu Dvarai She'en Li Dimyon Imo Ulefonav Afil Kekov Bifnei Odom Yikomakom Kedei Lahafiz Datcha Ulefayescha Almashe Ovar She'bnei Odom Arurim Histiruni Lidaver Kenegecha Dvarim Bilti Agonim Bili Kefia Nira Sheker Ino Bach Bakolshkein Shalos Karnu Baksav Shem Shum Nivro Miyomer David Lishkuri Bemilsa David Liguiki Hai Velo Echid Velo Shnaim Hiach Sumim Baksav Ahu Ki Harbi Vinei Odom Chasumim Shamlios Hoyadovar Nogel Ikar Ksavenu Afilo Al Hasofek Im Hoyadvarim Emes Al Kain Samti Atzmi Lahoshiv Al Dvarecha. There's a whole pulmis over here in the first maimar of the Baal HaIkrim, and it seems that the Baal HaIkrim entered into this very heavy controversy in which he says that the truth belongs to Sisrei HaTorah, to the secrets of the Torah, about the difference between the various names of God. However, he's willing to reveal something al derech hapshat, without the omek klal, based on Rashi at the beginning of Parashas Bereishis, b'tchila, Rashi says, ol machshava l'rosa b'midas hadin, the original divine plan was to create the world with din, with strict justice, Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu became, so to speak, aware of the fact that Ein Olam is Kayim, the world can't continue, and it cannot preserve, maintain itself. Hikdim Midas Rachmel Midas Adin, God integrated compassion with judgment. V'hainu d'chsiv b'yom asos Hashem Elokim yudkei vavkei Elokim. So as far as the original creation is concerned, that episode, that story reflects itself in the Shem Elokim, the Midas HaDin. That was the original plan. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw b'chachmaso that man is dedicated to sin, it was impossible for the world therefore to exist with Midas HaDin, according to strict judgment. And since all of creation was for the sake of man, then the din would force us to undermine the creation and return the world to tov vavo. Is therefore shatef midas harachamim, and that's the pasuk here, Bereishis Beis pasuk Dalid, Elu tov shemayim elokim biyom asos Hashem Elokim, and it means that although vayas Elokim is haraki, etc., etc., now it's going to be Hashem Elokim, and then the Sefer Ikra makes reference to Parshas Va'era, Terem Tirun Mipnei Hashem Elokim, Yudkei Vavkei Elokim. He says, Hu Margolios Tova B'enai. This is a very precious stone. Ki Bamaka Ahiafal Pishi Midas Adin Alem Nogima Midas Rachim Gedolim Ki Apishta Vasiora She'enem kol kach tzrichim l'chai odom nichta, aval achitim akusmin, shumin chitim, v'chai odom tluyim bahem lo niku. Harei she'nogim on v'rachmim l'chein nichtav, shem, yud kei vav kei lukim. The additive of midas harachamim expressed itself here in Barad, because instead of destroying the chitim, the kusmin, the wheat and spelt, these are basics for the food of man, and man needs these. Instead, Midas HaRachmim, and God destroyed Pishta, which is flax, Siora, which is barley, which is generally speaking earmarked for the animals, which aren't Tzrichim Kol Kach L'Chai Odom, they would destroy it. So the Yudkei Vavkei here is in place, because in this particular plague, Hashem revealed and manifested His Midah of Rachamim. Let's go back for a moment to Parshas Miketz in Bereishis Mem Aleph. Vayan Yosef es Paro Lemar. Paro says to Bat Yosef, I heard about you, you're a great interpreter of dreams. And Yosef's response is, Biladai. It's not me. I don't take credit for Elokim. Yanes Shlom Paro. Interesting that Yosef, in the context of his encounter with Paro, utters the name Elokim, omits the name of Yudkei Vavkei, something that we should pay attention to. We find that in the same context, when Paro hears the brilliant presentation of Yosef, the interpretation of the dreams, which he accepts wholeheartedly, Vayomer Paro, Paro declares, Al avodam hanimtzo kaze ish asher ruach Elokim bo. Again, we're talking about Paro recognizing the Ruach Elokim in Yosef. No mention of Yudkei Vavkei. If we fast forward to the beginning of Sefer Shmos and Perikei, we find Vayomer Paro, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. When Paro rejects the intervention of God as Moshe had presented it, Paro's response is, who is this God that I should listen to him? And here the name of God is Yudkei Vavkei. There's almost an implicit indication that Paro would have accepted Elokim, as we saw before in the encounter between Paro and Yosef. Paro, in effect, recognizes Elokim, but he's not ready to recognize Yudkei Vavkei. And the end of the pasuk is Lo Yadati Es Yudkei Vavkei V'Gamis Yisrael Lo Hashaleach. I don't recognize Yudkei Vavkei. Now, fast forward to Parshas Va'era. Perek Vav, Vayidaber Elohim El Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Adonai. God speaks to Moshe here at this point and identifies himself with a capital H as Yud Kei Vav Kei. So when there's a discussion here between Moshe and Hashem, we have Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei. In the context of Paro, it's always going to be Elohim, and it's Lo Yadati as Yud Kei Vav Kei. Paro is going to deny the existence of Yud Kei Vav Kei. In Shmos Perek Tes, Vaychazek Yud Kei Vav Kei Slave Paro Velo Shama Alem Kashadiba Yud Kei Vav Kei El Moshe. So again, since this pasuk is referring, number one, to that dialogue between Hashem and Moshe, it's always going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. And with respect to Paro denying the existence of God, it's the Yud Kei Vav Kei that he denies. Again, as we go through the psukim, carefully, meticulously analyze them, you see over and over again this pattern, Vayomer Paro Mi Yud Kei Vav Kei. And whenever Hashem is addressing Moshe, he's going to say, Ani Hashem, I am the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Vayechazik Hashem a slave Paro velo shama lam kasha dibra Hashem el Moshe. And basically, again, what we're seeing here is that although the Chartume Paro recognized the etzba of Elohim, that far they recognized, and Paro didn't reject that. But Vayechazak Hashem a slave Paro velo shama lam kasha dibra Hashem el Moshe. What Paro is rejecting and denying is the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the one who develops this beautifully is the Tzlach, the Noda B'Yehuda. But first, let's take a peek at the Arizal, who's before the Tzlach by two centuries. And he says, V'hine Paro Rasha, Mechashev Gadol HaYayin Kamo, he was a great sorcerer. As Chazal say, Vayeda b'chachmaso, v'yoda b'chachmaso is talkus, zeran pin ha-kadosh, v'chazaroso likones b'soda ibur. Okay, these are all very esoteric, Kabbalistic concepts from the world of mysticism. And basically, according to the thesis of the Arizal, he says, when Moshe came to Paro, Kofar ve'ikov amalo yadati es Hashem, he doesn't know, he doesn't recognize Yud Kei Vav Kei ki ra'ah, ki yenikas klipa helyona, sholetus olav al Paro, lo haisi yonekes misham, lo yadati es Yud Kei Vav Kei, hu zer anpin, enikra havaya. So this is all havaya. Mi havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei asher eshma b'kol ratzolomer that zeir anpen nikra havaya asher atabav shlichusa ela, you're coming as the representative of zeir anpen of Yud Kei Vav Kei, is I don't recognize you because I don't recognize the God of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Kedesha hechanu kedesha eshma b'kol, where is the zeir anpen? Valo sile kashke chaso. The Yud Kei Vav Kei indicates God's intervention, the divine providence through the midah of compassion. That has to do with the Soda Ibur, this Zeir Anpin. And he says, Vayechazik Hashem Eslev Parki Kishahoya Shomea Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei Mipi Moshe. Whenever he heard Yud Kei Vav Kei from Moshe's mouth, which happens repetitively, because Yadav Chachmaso Shalohaya Oz Mizgala. Paro, through his sorcery, his Kishuf, knew that Yud Kei Vav Kei would not be Mizgala at that point. And that's called the Stalkus of Zeran Pinakadosh. And it would only return at some point in the future, but right now it didn't exist. What Paro didn't recognize is, even though it wasn't Begilui, there still was the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Havaya of Nelam, which is concealed in the Sod HaIbur. Omnam, says the Arizal, however, you should know, B'Shem Elokim HaYamode, Paro never denied the name Elokim, the existence of God as creator. Ki Arei Yosef Amalo Elokim Yanes Shlom Paro. Yosef told Paro about Elokim. And excuse me, Paro's response was, Achrei Odi Elokim Oscha. In other words, Paro was only a denier of Shem Havaya, but he was Moda, he admitted, he recognized and acknowledged the Shem Elokim, Va'inyan Huzeki, Hine Vios Zman Gadlus Dezer Anpin Yeshlo Mochim de Shem Havaya. So there's a connection here between these two phenomena, these two concepts of Zer Anpin and the name of God as it reflects itself in Havaya. Ubioso Bizman Katnus Obizmani Ibur Yeshlo Mochin Delokim. So there's certain periods of time which God, again, these are all mystical concepts, but God operates with the Shem Elokim. And that's something that Paro was able to recognize and acknowledge. So therefore, the Zer Anpin of that particular moment in history was Mochin Delokim, Mochin de Katnus, Mochin Delokim, Elo. On perhaps a level that's a little closer to our hearts and our minds, a simpler level, we'll take a look at the Tzlach of the Noda Beauty writes, Kol Mishterei HaShamayim Misnagim Ederek Klal Al Pi Seder HaTeva. All of the heavenly spheres operate according to the law of nature. Ein Bahem Nes, there's no miracle or anything marvelous, spectacular. Ki ikar nisim heim al yidei Hashem avaya baruch hu. Nes, which means miracle, the change in the natural order of the universe is generated by the name Havaya. V'lachein biyachas l'niflo she'osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'asuf Mitzrayim she'in dvorim ha'yotzim min ha'teva nemar. In Shmos Zayin it says v'yedu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. Ultimately, as a result of all the marvelous miracles, the supernatural events of the Makos, the people of Mitzrayim would recognize and acknowledge Ki Ani Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Avol Mitzad Midas Hadin Aramuza B'Shem Elokim. If you're talking about law and justice that is reflected in the name Elokim, Ein Olam Misnaheg Al Pi Nisim. There's no room for miracles. It's all based on an implementation, a reflection of the natural law of the universe. Paro says back in Shmos Elo Yadati Es Hashem, I don't recognize Yud Kei Vav Kei. Anything that happens and anything that God brings about, it's only within the framework of Elokim. And again, as we saw in the Arizal, the Noda Beauty again reiterates that Paro acknowledges the name Elokim. Hamoral Hisnagus Ha'olam Al Pi HaTeva. Elokim is within nature. That's the God of creation. As we saw in Parak Aleph Misefer Bereishis, it's always Elokim. And not only that, the gematria of Teva, or we should say HaTeva, is Elokim. And this is Hisnagus Ha'olam Al Pi HaTeva. This is the way God has the world operate according to the natural law. And l'fi shebeinu mizoras hashamayim lo higia hazman sheyitzu b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. That according to the laws of nature, based on the movements in heavens, it was not yet the time of Yitzis Mitzrayim. And therefore, Paro says, I don't see, there's no possibility of Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei in the change of nature. I don't recognize God as Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's all Elokim. It's all the God of nature. So don't tell me that I have to let the people go because God is going to change nature. It's the God of Elokim that operates within the frame of nature rather than undermining the natural law. And therefore, we can understand that when the Chartumim said Etzba Elokimi, they weren't coming to strengthen the position of Moshe and the power of Moshe, but on the contrary, they were coming to contradict and undermine Moshe. Their intent was to say that there's no special Ashgacha here, there's no Koach of God as Yud Kei Vav Kei that's going to undermine and shake up the laws of nature. Ela Etzba Elokim, it's all the Elokim, B'derech HaTeva. And that's what we see in the air. That's what's going against Mitzrayim. And if the Kedim or all the others, it's all coming from Elokim, there's nothing to be mispiled. You don't have to go crazy over it. We can handle Elokim. We can handle the natural law. And this is the reason why Paro, Hichbid Eslibov Lo Shama Aleim, he didn't hear, he didn't listen and hearken to Moshe and Aaron, Kasha Diber Yud Kei Vav Kei Shama Aleim Lo Yishma Aleim Aleichem Paro. And immediately comes the next mako when Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paro for the mako of Orov, which is about to come. He says, this is not natural. Orov, this mako is supernatural. It's a nes, and it's Yotzim Migedra Ateva. And therefore comes from the mid of Rachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mid of Yud Kei Vav Kei Smarachim al Klal Yisrael, and he wants to remove the people of Israel from the arm and the control of Mitzrayim. That's the warning that Paro is getting. So getting back to the pasuk again, Etz Velokim, if you take a look in the Abarbanel, he says that there's a way of understanding the sequence of the various makos as a reflection of the natural law of the universe. You can use your human logic to explain the sequence of the makos, because initially in the first makos the water was turned to blood, now the water was corrupt, it was putrid, and therefore this would generate the frogs, the lice, and other such creatures from lack of water. And it could also be that human beings didn't have water during the plague of Dam to use for bathing and washing their clothing. Arov might have been brought about because of various maddening diseases, says the Abarbanel. And all this is summarized in a book by Rav Avigdor Miller Zichron Levracha called A Nation is Born. And the Malbim objects to the approach of the Abarbanel because he claims that he's minimizing the Hespalos, the amazing miraculous nature of the Makos, by saying that, you know, one Mako led to the other and one caused disease and corrupted the waters and then lice and pestilence, everything resulted. This is all part of a natural world of the universe. Says Rav Avigdor Miller, basically we can make a pshara here, a compromise, and integrate both the Abarbanel and the Malbim. We'll certainly accept the Malbim and we'll deny cause and effect in terms of the various makas, but the Abarbanel is correct that the attitude of the Mitzrim was the sequence can be understood as part of the natural law of the universe, as cause and effect, and it has a certain plausibility. It's a sequence that we can make plausible, we can explain it. And that's why Paro's heart was hardened, because since these various arguments were being utilized to explain away the plagues, then every miracle is basically being denied. So if you take the blind men who deny miracles because they seek to continue in their evil ways, in Mitzrayim, men were finally open to possible tshuva. They were forced to open their eyes and see the etzba, the finger of God, and afterwards the hand of Hashem. And there was a chance for tshuva. Now, the one who develops these ideas even further, and we're going back three centuries, is the Shalach, called the Shnei Luchos Habris. And he writes, "Vayidaber el Kimis el Moshe, Vayomer Elov Ani Yudke Vavke." And then we find at the beginning of Sefer Shmos that, or I should say, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, "Ushmi Yudke Vavke Lo Nadati Lahem," which literally means that God did not reveal Himself to the Avos with the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the Shalom develops the idea, Kala Osos Vamosim, all the miracles, the spectacular events that happened was Beshidu Damarachas, to undermine the natural law, Beshinu Yateva, to change nature of Mitzrayim. These were all affected by Shmo HaGadol, Shmo HaMiyuchad, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shehu Hoya Hove V'yeh, Hu Hiva Eskol HaNimtzayim, May Efes V'ayin HaMuchlat, God created everything. V'chidsham ish al tivo anoy k'minhagu shalom v'asas shemayim v'asas tziyom v'skal shabam u'mi b'chol ma'isi yodav el yonav atachtonim shiyom lo matase u'briyas kol anim tzoyim k'mo shem esnagim u'b'shem elokim. So the creation of nature in the heavens, in the earth, in the seas, everything within the seas, everything that's a Maisa Yadav, that's the creator, the handiwork of God, whether it's in the higher spheres or the lower spheres, no one tells God what to do. Everything that's created by God operates and behaves according to the laws of nature that God put into nature. That's the Shem Elokim. And therefore, the opening pasuk in the Chumash is Bereishis Bara Elokim, Esa Shemayim Vesa Aretz. No mention, a complete omission of the name Yudke Vavke. And the Zohar, he explains, Ki Shem Elokim Hu Ateva. Again, the gematria that we saw earlier in the name of the Nod B'Yehuda. Elokim Hu Hakav Hayos Alpi Das Ubedin. So that's Teva. Teva is just, sets the law, the statutes, the natural order of the entire universe. L'chol nivra nivra tivro mahus, everything that was created, insofar as it's a created being, has its own essence and its own nature. V'nyono akotziv lo, and that which is limited to it. Aval gadol yudke vavke bimkol Elokim. The name yudke vavke is that much greater, supersedes Elokim. As it says, Yisro, B'shem Yudke Vovke, Mishane HaTeva U'Mishadein HaMarocha. So this pasuk in Shmos, Perek Yudches, Godol Hashem, Mikol Elokim, is an indication that Yudke Vovke changes natural law, Mishadein HaMarocha, and is that much greater than in the power of Elokim. B'chein Ksiv, it says in Dvarim Yud, Ki Yudke Vovke Alehem Hu Elokei Elokim Vadonei Hadonim. So Yudke Vavke is one of the names here in this pasuk. Elokim is another name, but Gadol Yudke Vavke is Hashemos Hanetzolim Mishma Miuchad, because all the names of God are Netzolim, they're just reflections of the Shem Miuchad, the Yudke Vavke, which reflects somehow the essence of God. And that's why we say in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Vav, which is part of Pesukei Dezim, we say Hodu Lashem Yudke Vavke Ki Tov Ki Yolam Chazd. Hodu Lelkei Elokim Ki Yolam Chazd. Hodu Ladonei Adonim Ki Yolam Chazd. And this means that the name of Hashem Yisbarach is a Mareches Hashemayim Veheim Adonim Koch u'gvur nosan lem, Leos Moshe the care of Tevel, that there are many forces in nature that God bestowed upon them, the force, the energy, but Hu Yisbarach Adon Adonim, He is the Master of Masters. V'akarkach gavoa me'aleim asorim shalmala manhigim amareches, greater than man are the angels in heaven that are in charge of directing and engineering the entire mareches, the entire structure of the universe. This is the name Elokim. With regard to the Umos HaOlam, is Elokei HaUmos. Hashem Yisbarach is Elokei HaElokim. And therefore we have the Shem HaMiuchad Yudkei Vavkei Shu Gadol Mikol HaElokim. All this was shown in Mitzrayim, the Osos and the Mosim, B'Shidud HaMareches, all the marvelous, spectacular miracles that undermine the laws of nature, of the system, Shinei HaTeva. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is always considered, with regard to his appearances in front of Paro, as the Shliach of Yudkei Vavkei. And Paro's response in Shmos Perek Hei is, Mi Yudkei Vavkei Asher Eshma Bekolo. He never heard the name Yudkei Vavkei. Paro is not aware of Yudkei Vavkei, and he doesn't recognize the existence of Yudkei Vavkei. He had received the Kabbalah, so to speak, of Elokim, the name Elokim, from Yosef HaTzadik, as we saw in Parshas Miketz, Elokim Yaneh Shlom Paro. but he never received the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. In Paro's mind, it didn't exist at all. Shalom goes ahead and quotes a Zohar on the Pasuk Kim Yanesh Shlom Paro, and basically proves from the Zohar that Paro recognizes the name Elokim, denied the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Shma Elokim Aviyada, as Paro says, Hanimsa Kazeh Ish Asher Ruach Elokimbo, so he recognizes, acknowledges Elokim. But when Moshe comes and he appears and presents himself as the messenger of Yud Kei Vav Kei, not the messenger of Elokim, this was the most difficult thing for Paro to comprehend, because he only knew one name. He knew God as the founder and the composer, the engineer of nature, of Elokim, but not the shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that he didn't know. And this was very difficult for him to accept. And when it says, Vayichazik Yud Kei Vav Kei Slav Paro, Da askif libe v'akshele v'alda Moshe, as over the name Elokim, there was a hardening of the heart of Paro. And Moshe Rabbeinu lo oda le mila ushma achara el shma de yud kei vav kei bilichut. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu discussed or appeared and encountered Paro, he always notified him about Yud Kei Vav Kei. So it means, Vani Aksha Slave Paro, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to violate the laws of justice, but rather, Haya Lev Paro Mukshe Mikol Ani, Dainu Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei, Vizev Ani Aksha, Kilo Yoda Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the Ani Aksha Slave Paro, the word Va'ani is a reference to Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that's Aksha Slave Paro. Why Aksha Slave Paro? Because Paro didn't recognize, didn't acknowledge Yud Kei Vav Kei. And when the Chartumim admitted that Etzva Lokimi, they didn't say Etzva of Yud Kei Vav Kei. In other words, even though Paro received the name Elokim from Yosef, and he understood that Elokim means that God in heaven is more powerful than any other force in nature, any Elohim Acherim, but nevertheless he thought that everything goes, Hakol Kamenig Noeg, everything goes according to the law, and it passes, and we eat three times a day, and everything else, is Havisavar. Paro came to the mistaken conclusion, Shakol Kemineg Noeg, that Hashem is the creator of Elokim, the creator of the natural law, V'ein Malchus Nogas Bechavrata, and there cannot be another king of kings who would in any way detract and limit the ability of Elokim to continue Elokim's ways based on nature. And therefore, it has to be that Hakol Kemineg Noeg. And he quotes Kiderech Molochim Shebaaret Shekol Echad Noeg Malchus Af Shegodol VeKatan Beinehem. You can have a situation where there's a Godol, there's a Katan amongst the group, but nevertheless, the Molochim, the kings of the nations, every one of these kings is Kalecha Noig Malchus Af Shekot Mekot Godol Beinehem. In other words, you can have a greater king and a lesser king, Yeshmel Chadir, Yeshmel She'en Ova Maila Shalzeh, one king, another king. And this is what Paro had to come to understand, that there's both Elokim and Yud Kei Vav Kei. Both are kings of God, representing different manifestations of the divine being. Oh, Hayasover Paro Elohim Hu Adon Ha'olam Aval Ha'olam Sgulabo. He said that it could very well be that God is the master of the universe, but that Ha'olam Sgulabo, I'm not sure exactly what the Shalom means by Sgulabo. Perhaps he means that God has created a closed system and he's not going to penetrate into the system and change anything within that natural law. It's like a circle that goes around and around endlessly. And it's a little bit reflective of what Aristotle believed in, that the world is eternal. In other words, this Yud Kei Vav Kei is coming to interfere with Paro. Paro gets very angry, and Vayichbad Lev Paro, although that doesn't appear here, but Nismali Chem Yomer Tichbad HaVodal Anoshim. Paro is full of anger when he says, Mi Yud Kei Vav Kei. He says, let's get the men working even harder. When Moshe complains and he says, "Me'oz bossi el paro l'dabre b'shmecha ra heira la'om hazeh," meaning when I expressed and enunciated the shame of Yuchra Yudkei Vavkei, is Hutzrach Hashem Yisparach laharos ki hu Yudkei Vavkei hoya hov v'yia hu mechuyev ametzius levado v'yein od. Vehu hoya mahava kol me'efes hamuchlan alkein biyado l'shaneis. That since God created the entire world, He's the author of the universe, therefore He has the power to change the rules and the priorities of the natural law. And then when Paro says, Mi Yud Kei Vavke, HaKadosh Baruch says, Ani Yud Kei Vavke, and he's trying to convey to Paro, Im Ein Ani Li Mi L'Kshin Anatzmi Ma'ani, just like Hill said here, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says upstairs, "Im ein ani li, kishe ein ani mares ani." If I don't show and manifest my ani, my true essence, dahinu ani yud kei vavke as mili. Mili means that Paro is going to say, "Mili Hashem, ni yud kei vavke, ukshani li atzmi." If I reveal my shame amyuchad, my holiest name, shu nikra shame ha'etzem, zeu kshani li atzmi oznes galamani, klomem morav masech Hashem, kulu mechoch masisa, hamora al chidush ha'ola me'ayin le'efes. Me'ayin u'me'efes. So Hashem says that if I reveal my shame amyuchad, that's my essence, then kishani li atzmi, then yizgale mo'ani. Now let's just see, we have a lot to do, but maybe we can find a little bit of a shortcut, or perhaps we should end here. What do you think? Let's see if we could add one more piece perhaps. Paro declares, Hashem Hatzadik Vani Vami Harishoyim. Now, the thesis of the Likutei Shoshanim is that Paro with his Rishus is connected to the concept of Golus, which is a reflection or result of the separation of Yud Kei Vav Kei into two parts, in which the Yud Kei becomes separated from the Vav Kei and forms a name of God, an incomplete name of God. So if you take a look at the pasuk, Ushmi Yud Kei Vav Kei Lo Nadati Lahem, and the pasuk Hashem Hatzadik Vani Va'ami Harishoyim, so you have, besides, if you take out the Teva of Ani, that word of Ani, the Rosh Tevis is Havaya Baruch Hu. Because Hatzadik is He, the Vav of Ani. So you have the He and the Vav. Then you have the Yud of Hashem's name, and then Ve'ami of the Vav, with the Vav, and the He of Harishoyim. So the Teva here is Va'ani. Paro says about himself, Va'ani is mafsik bein osios yudke liosios vavke. Because again, the first two words in the pasuk are Hashem, that's yudke vavke hatzadik, so that's yud, and then a hey. Then you have the va'ani of paro, followed by va'ami or shoim, which is the vav and the hey. So the purpose of paro was to separate and wedge between the yudke and the vavke. So Omar Paro al Atzmo Mafsik Bein Osios Yudke Liosios Vavke. And this is the Pshat in the Pasuk Mizmo Liosov Elakim Bo Nachlos Goyim Nachlos Secha. The word Goyim is a remez Shebo Benachla Nachas HaKedusha, that they came into the place of kedusha, of sanctity, lahafsik bein osios, in order to wedge between yud k and vav k, is that's called timu es heichal kodshecha, as if they had polluted and corrupted the heichal kodesh. And that's what Paro says, Hashem atzadik v'ani v'ami arshoim. He's trying to say that I Paro would in a certain sense conceal my plan, my destructive plan of separating Yud K and Vav K. I'll sneak it into this sentence, this declaration, Hashem HaTzadik Vani Vami Harashoyim. It's a little bit reminiscent of the Nachash, who is known, of course, as Orum Mikol Chayas Haaretz. And he too, the Nachash, is trying to separate between the Yud K and the Vav K. The Chasam Sofer says, "Lahavin divri Chazal shadam arishon kofar v'nasa min v'kashem ma inyan zelakan sha'achal mi perosov al ze kofar bi'ikar." Where's the kfir bi'ikar, by eating from the fruit of the tree? Vehine b'chol ha'mikros ha'ele nizkar avayo yisborach chutz mi divrei ha'nochash. In this chapter in Chumash, in Brachos, we find the name Yud Kei Vav Kei over and over again, but when the Nochash speaks, Vayomer el ha'isha af ki omar elokim, he switches the name of God of Yud Kei Vav Kei elokim. Without Yud Kei Vav Kei, ki Adam Arishon v'Ishto Shneim Hiskilu ki Tova Eitz Lahaskil. They understood, Adam and Chava, that the tree has a certain power, Lahaskil, to give a certain wisdom, a unique wisdom to the person who eats from the tree. Asher Yadu ki Hashem Yisparach Hu Asher Hivas Kol Havayas Kulam is therefore Ha'emes. Adam and Chava were not willing to accept that God would be jealous if man would partake of the Eitz Hadas, and then they'll be askilu, they'll be like God. But ein lahara achrov lemar malo lesar olenu priya tovahu. At this point, Adam and Chava are not wondering, well, why did God prohibit us from eating this good fruit? Ki ein lechash, though they didn't have any suspicion of shum dov v'yomku machshavosov. Sometimes God's thoughts and His wisdom is beyond our comprehension. Mistoma hakol tov ein lefakpe. So Adam Arishon and Chava were willing to accept the premise that God is doing everything for our good without questioning God. Achad nochosh sivav dvarv lomar Kitama Shoel Af Ki Omar Elokim. What does this mean? Af Ki Omar Elokim Lo Sochlu Min Haaretz. And he's asking in a naive sort of way, made himself domavad as if he's naive. B'toch Advarim Hishmet Shem Avaya. And in a very cunning sort of way, he leaves out, omits the name Avaya Lomar to tell us, Ki Ze Einenu Amahava Kol Havayos. That what divinity, what aspect of divinity is responsible for creating everything, for all of creation? It's Elohim. It's only the name Elohim. And Elohim is Misarim Helyonim. It's one of the great angels up in heaven. And this is Katzetz Benetius. This was the Apikursis of the Nachash. Ratzaloma Vahu Chasaveno Sholem. He was implying that Chasam God is not complete, he's not perfect. And God was really prohibiting, he's afraid that you would eat and become equivalent to a god. Alkein osar lachem. Therefore he told you on a not to eat from the eight sadas. It's all motivated by a sense of jealousy because God doesn't want to share his greatness with man. And she fell for this idea of the Nachash. In other words, she accepted his arguments. So that the argument of the Nachash is from the name Elohim. And we saw already in Paro that Paro was willing to acknowledge Elohim, but not Yudkei Vavkei. And Paro, in that sense, as we saw in the Pasuk, Hashem HaTzadik V'Aniv HaMi'ar Shoim, wants to wedge himself in between the Yudkei and the Vavkei. Because Paro utilizes his Haskalah, his intelligence, in a very negative sort of way as a Rama to undermine Hashem, to be Matami the Kodesh. And that's why Paro comes from the Shoresh of the Nachash. Paro is Bigmatria Nachash. You have to add the number 3, which is connected to Tevos Paro Melech Mitzrayim. So Paro is considered Nachash, Hatanin Agadol, the great serpent, V'Nachash Ofar Lachmo V'chein Osios Paro He'Ofar. So there are many indications that Paro is Ofar, is connected to the Ofar. So our thesis basically is the following, that Paro's Fira was in the name Yudkei Vavkei. And this is very, very much a parallel, if you will, of the Nachash HaKadmoni. Paro represents the Hemshech of the Nachash HaKadmoni in a different sort of personification. And when Paro says, I don't recognize Yudkei Vavkei, he does recognize Elohim, as we saw over and over again. And his plot, Paro's plot, is that of the Nachash, to break up and wedge between the Yudkei and the Vavkei, the name of Hashem. And again, just to reiterate, we saw in the Chasam Sofer the idea that Adam and Chava never would have questioned God's decision to enjoin them from eating the Eitz Hadas. It was only the Nachash who somehow seduced Chava to understand an argument that God is jealous, he's not perfect, he's not infinite, and therefore you'd be jealous of man if man ate from the Eitz Hadas, Vayisam Echad Kamohu. And that's why God prohibited you from eating the Eitz Hadas. Everything is because of Kinah, that you shouldn't be as great as God is. And somehow the Nachash was able to impact and influence Chava. And that's what caused the whole Ishtalshalus of the fate of Adam HaRishon. In any event, as we saw earlier, in the name of the Sefer Ikrim, Elohim is the God of creation. Yudkei Vavkei represents Rachamim as opposed to Din. And this is the way God eventually set in motion the earth, that it should operate through the combination of these two names of Yudkei Vavkei, of Rachamim, and Elohim of Din. Paro would only recognize the Esfel Elohim. He would never recognize the Yudkei Vavkei, and the purpose of the Eser Makos, therefore, is to indicate that God, in his love and compassion for Israel, his mercy for Klal Yisrael, is going to use the name Yudkei Vavkei, a name that was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu and continues to be the key word describing Ani Hashem in God's dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is something that Paro rejects what Moshe Rabbeinu has the goal and the agenda to prove to Paro that there is a God of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei that has compassion on Klal Yisrael, that has control of the of nature that he created, and can alter the rules and the laws of nature whenever he wills, and those are the Nisim, and that would solve and achieve the goal of Paro becoming aware of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei element, and acknowledging God not just as Elohim, but also as the God of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the compassionate one who can change and alter the natural law of the universe for the sake of Klal Yisrael. So we'll call it here now. Thank you so much.